Now, throughout the history of the church, there have been numerous blessings and countless number of blessings written down that are each more beautiful and more powerful than the last, written by some of the greatest saints and some of the greatest mystical theologians and greatest mystical thinkers in the history of the church. But few, if any, of these blessings are as grace-filled as St. Paul's blessing that we heard in the second reading. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Now, we believe that this grace that St. Paul is talking about is the gift of God's love bestowed upon us, which draws us closer to Him and strengthens us to live in union with Him, which, of course, should be our goal as Christians. Our goal should be to live in total union with our Heavenly Father. Well, this prayer, this blessing of St. Paul is so powerful because it invokes the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Of course, the sign of the cross, which we should pray before every prayer, is very powerful as well. It's one of the most powerful prayers that we have in its own right. Now, of course, it shouldn't be a surprise for us as Catholics and for most Christians that God is a Trinity, that has been revealed to us that God is a Trinity, that we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one God. We're not talking about three gods. We're talking about three distinct persons in one God, united eternally by the divine love between them. In fact, we say in the Creed that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one in being. Or as we will say shortly in the new Creed, as we will say towards the end of the month in the new, or end of the year in the new Creed, consubstantial. Of the same substance. What this means, this fancy word consubstantial, or the more clear meaning one in being, is that all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are divine. None were created. None, you know, God didn't create the Son and the Holy Spirit. All three are divine beings that have lasted through all eternity. Now, this is a very important distinction, that all three have been in existence for all eternity and will be in existence for all eternity. Because many of the church's early heresies surrounded the Trinity. In fact, the Nicene Creed, which we are about to recite after the homily, was written as a process to clarify the answers that these heresies brought up, to clarify what we truly believe. And thus, most of the Creed focuses on the members of the Trinity. Well, when we refute heresy, when we argue against heresy and find the truth, it helps us to better understand what God has revealed to us. And what we've found through the process of reflecting on the Trinity, what has been revealed by God through the Church on the Trinity, is that the eternal expression of divine love holds the Trinity united. God's love is so strong as a Trinity, that united between each other, that this love led to creation, that we might be able to share in that love. God created us and created all creation so that we humans might one day join into that love and share in the love that God has within it, within Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Original sin, the fall of Adam and Eve, the fall of humanity, was the rejection of that love. And we are still suffering with the effects of that rejection of that love to this day. But we have hope because our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to earth and died and rose again for our sins, restores us to that love of God. In fact, we see that through when we are baptized, that we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit to share in the love of the Trinity, to invoke the Trinity and to bring us into that love. In fact, that makes our hope for eternal life is to be immersed in that love, just as in some places they do baptism by immersing the person, by submersing them under the water and bringing them out as the words of baptism are said. We want to be totally immersed in the love of God. In the gospel today, Apostle or John wrote, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. God gave us His Son to save us. Now, by saving, we mean to enter fully into that love. That's what's going to happen at the end of time after we've died and we go to heaven, that we will be saved, that sin will no longer cut us off. That's why sin will no longer have an effect after death, is because we will be saved from the effect of sin. But conversely, to be condemned means to cut ourselves off from that love completely. Now, I'll make it clear. It's we cut ourselves off from God's love. It's like cutting a branch from a tree. You're sitting on a branch and you cut that branch off. The tree didn't do anything to cause that branch to be cut off. You did it. And we see again in the Gospel of John that God doesn't want that. God does not want us to be condemned. Because as it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God wants us to be saved. God wants us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. God wants us to enter totally into his love. But he allows us through our free wills to choose for or against him. Now, although we are a stiff-necked people, as Moses calls it, God chose us as his own. God chose us to be his people. And as the people of God, his sons and daughters, may we always believe in him in this life, so that we may become fully immersed in the love of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the next.